You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Wednesday, the 19th of February. Ben Barrett in the presenter's chair, and I'm delighted to say that I've managed to grab Leona Mayer out of the William Hill Racing Radio Studio. Leona, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, a little break from a very busy day's racing action on the radio. Stephen and Gordon, I'm sure we'll manage just fine with
that. I thought you were going to say a little break from Stephen and Gordon
well, to be fair.
Have you been in good form this morning?
Yeah, I've been doing okay, I think. We've had a couple of winners between us and a few forecasts, so we've done all right. Nap of the day didn't run very well, but that can't be helped. So.
Yesterday's did, though. Do you want to mention that one? 14-1 nap?
Yeah, I've had a few winning naps, actually. We were talking about it yesterday. I think out of the last eight, maybe six of them have won, not including today's. I think the last six out of eight have won, so I've been doing all right, haven't I?
That's a good enough strike rate for me, and especially if you're picking out 14-1 shots,
yeah. You
can find the naps table on williamhill.com, and apparently the only one you really need is Leona's going forward. No pressure or anything.
Yeah, we'll see. Let you know about it in another few weeks.
A couple of bits of sort of news to kind of go through. Wednesday podcasts are always awkward because it's too late to look back and too early to look forward.
Well, but we can talk about today.
We can talk about today. We can indeed. We're going to have a little word on today, but I just wanted to get your thoughts really on a bit of unfortunate news, really. Native River has been pulled from the Gold Cup and is likely to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Tizards have confirmed that this morning. Joe Tizard said, and I quote, "Unfortunately, we've had to scratch Native River from the Gold Cup this morning. It's really disappointing, but he's had just a little tear in the suspensory tendon at the back of his knee, which is going to put him out for the rest of the season." I'm not particularly sure what a suspensory tendon is, but I don't think I want to tear it. It doesn't sound particularly nice.
No, it's obviously the suspensories run down the back of the legs, basically. So normally when you just see a horse, they tend to just say a horse has done a tendon, or if they've had a leg, that's what it is. It'll be the suspensory tendon down the back. There's all kinds of things they can do. As obviously they've told us, you can get a tear, you can get actually a proper howl, as in howl's bad. You know, they can kind of just strain it, which again is very minor and would probably come right with a bit of cold hosiery and a bit of rest. But the fact that he's got a proper tear, you know, he's that bit older, he's a good horse. I'm sure connections just think, look, it's not enough, you know, I'm pretty sure for a tear it won't be an operation job.
Okay.
It will just be a case of box rest, let's leave him, you know, the leg will sort itself out. You know, and he should come back better than ever, but it's obviously just one of them, isn't he? He's that bit older and it's going to be a bit more time. But look, if he's injured, he's injured. I actually tweeted, I think it was last week, I think a few people read it wrong, saying it seems like we've had so many good horses injured in the last few weeks.
You're
more
absolutely
than,
right,
more
yeah.
than ever. And I think people, a couple of people, as they read it, so if you're listening and you were one of those people, I think they thought I meant from a cruelty point of view, which I absolutely didn't, because I know better than anybody about racing and how well looked after. A bit like the surname thing, as in, before he actually ran, I obviously did a few previews in here, and I said that I thought he looked quite poor. I'd seen a few pictures of him, you know, as in, I don't think I'm a racing expert, but I do think I know what a horse that looks well looks like, you know, as in, I've got my own horses, I've had them my whole life, I've worked in racing a long time. I thought he looked very lean, and you know, and perhaps, and I'm not trying to say, you know, anything on the Nichols team, etc., but maybe, you know, because you get so much pressure with these good horses, whether they overtrain them, whether they do a bit too much, because obviously they've got to be fit, but they've also still got to be fresh.
Yeah.
Because you're still expecting them to go and jump round huge obstacles over 3 miles and 2.5 miles, etc. So, you know, are we overtraining them? Are they being trained now too hard, these good horses? And it is causing them to get injured, because I just feel like the last few weeks there's been so many blows for all these big yards with good horses, just, you know, loads at once getting injured, and it's like, what the hell is going on? You know, I don't feel... It may be, you know, it is just one of them that maybe I've just not took as much notice in the past. You know, if I'm wrong, then I've, you know, looked to be corrected. I don't mind at all. But I do feel like there's been a lot of horses getting injured in recent weeks. Again, that could be the ground, because, of course, we've had a wetter winter than ever.
Are
some of these horses being trained hard on very, very soft ground, and that's pulling tendons and ligaments and that kind of thing? I don't know, but
lots of variables, and often a very fine balance.
Yeah,
and you can imagine how easy it is to cross that line and step over
the fitness fresh thing,
exactly,
at what point. And the problem is, once you've obviously you get them fit, and if you say you're fit a bit earlier than you'd want to be, then you've got to keep them then at that level, taking over and not losing fitness, not overtraining so that they lose condition or they look a bit poor. You know, it's a difficult one, but clearly Paul didn't feel like, Paul Nicholls, obviously, on about for Surname, that that was just one bad run that was a fluke. He has said, we probably won't see him again now for a good while, as in, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so clearly it is more than just what we saw. Yes, I know he fell, but plenty of horses fall. They still run again a month later, you know, and I think it really was the fact that he was already off the bridle when he fell. You know, he was going backwards. He never travelled, I thought, with the fluency and the, like a good horse like he normally does, so... I think there's always, you know, perhaps there's a little bit more to it. But, yeah, going back to the Native River thing, you know, you'd hope a tear in a suspensory is not at the end of the world. It's not a real big deal. Good that, of course, they found out and they can, you know, they can link
it
now.
And it doesn't lead to something worse by pushing it too far.
Exactly.
So,
which can happen. But it's lucky that they found it. Look, it's sad for people that want to see him running in for connections and all the rest of it. But these things happen. Unfortunately, it is tough, you know, but he's still with us, which is more than can be said for some nice horses in, like, again, the last few weeks, you know, we've lost some nice horses. So, yeah, you know, I shall look forward to seeing him, hopefully, when he comes back next time, as good as ever.
Cracking words. Native River ruled out of the Gold Cup, but hopefully long term has been okay. Native River was a 2018 Cheltenham winner, and we saw another one in Lorena in the first race of Punchestown today. The guys in the studio, Dave Kellner and Gary Catewell, were really hoping we saw the very best of Lorena back in action, and I don't quite think we got that, did we?
We weren't. Me and Stephen both went against her.
Okay.
I went with Alfile, and Stephen went with Black Tears, so we went with the 1-2. The problem for Lorena, I think, now, it's obviously, again, a difficult one. So coming from bigger obstacles back to hurdles, you'd think that'd be easier for her, because her jumping's looked a bit sketchy at times, hasn't it, recently? I know her first few chase starts, she seemed good and she jumped well. The last couple of the wheels have fallen off. So I understand why they went back to hurdles. That made good sense. But at the same time, for me, especially mares, fillies, not in good recent form, doesn't fill me with confidence, because I think in their mind, they've not ran well in recent starts. You know, it could be more than that. I would rather a mare filly that has been in good form. You know, they always say, don't they, a filly in form, keep them on your side kind of thing. Yeah, she never looked like the winner, did she? And
no.
The fact that she went out to the price that she did in comparison to the other Mullins runner, maybe that told you all you needed to know. So, yeah, she was disappointing. You know, she never looked like she was going to win. Perhaps there really is something wrong. You know, they took her chasing because clearly they thought it was going to be her bag and that she was going to be good enough and that she could jump. She looked like she could. So then maybe she was pulled up on the last couple of starts, not because they were fences, but because something's not right.
Something's not quite right.
And they don't quite know what it is. So they thought, well, let's try hurdles as well. Still not right. So, again, there's going to be more to that story, isn't there?
I want to ask you one more thing about today's racing, actually. We're recording this not long after the 250 at Doncaster, where Kansas City Chief looked set to win that race, but ended up going off course. As someone who isn't quite in the same level of knowledge in terms of horse racing, you've been in that saddle.
Yeah.
How easy is that to do? Is that a difficult thing to get wrong?
The boys were mocking me, saying, oh, jockeys never slate jockeys, which actually isn't true. If I wasn't happy with the ride, I'd say I wasn't happy with the ride. Robbie Dunn is a very good jockey, very underrated. He doesn't get the amount of good quality rides that he should, because he's one of them, you know, he'll be 10 lengths fourth and he will keep pushing all the way to the line. You know, he's very good, he's very consistent. I think he's a real good rider. What's happened there is, we discussed this on air on the radio, if you were listening, when you're going around in a race and you're on the bridle, you know, you've got hold of their mouth, you've got a contact, you've got more control of them. The second your puss comes to shove and you're down and you're driving and the reins, of course, are going tighter and looser, but you never obviously get hold of their mouth again once they're off the bridle, because you're just trying to push them forward. Your reins are loose. If they veer, you've got those few seconds where you've got to gather up your reins again and say, come here, and pull them over. He didn't get that chance because the horse was just dirty and just ran out. You know, he's lucky it didn't go through the rail.
Yeah, it was close, wasn't it?
Or the horse, or both, could have been injured, yeah. So very lucky. And I did say on the radio, so I'm glad you've asked me, and I'll repeat again now, not Robbie Dunn's fault. You know, and if you back the horse, it is crap, but at the same time, not the jockey's. You know, that is one thing where you can say, do you know what could he have done? You know, you're not riding, you haven't got your legs round them like you would normal horse riding. You can't steer them with your legs, you've only got your reins. Well, when you're pushing them, your reins are loose. What, you know, that split second where you've got to grab down the rein and pull them over, too late.
There you go.
Really unfortunate there for Robbie Dunn. I'm sure he'll be fuming at himself, because you always are as a jockey if you feel like you could have done something. But watching it, I really don't think he could have.
There you go. Thank you very much.
No worries. I was just going to say as well, obviously, I don't know if people are listening today or in the morning, etc. So it's... we sadly obviously lost James Banks, didn't we? He was a good jockey, James, and a really nice lad. We're filming this, as you said, on the 19th of February. It's his funeral at 1:30 today. So obviously, if anybody's listening and you did know James, or even if you didn't, really nice guy, very sad. Obviously, I think the mental health issues and a few other things. So, obviously, couldn't be at the funeral, obviously working today. And to be honest, I haven't seen James for a long time, but, you know, I was quite good friends with him when I lived in Lambourne and, you know, went out for drinks and stuff a few times. He's a really nice guy, and obviously we've seen all the social media about James as well and everybody that liked him. And, you know, he was a really nice guy, really, really sad. So, you know, if it's someone that knows him very closely, family or very close friend happened to be listening, you know, really sorry for the loss, and it's a sad thing.
Lovely words, Leona. Thank you so much. Obviously, everyone here at William Hill, and specifically William Hill Racing Radio, echoes those thoughts. Our thoughts are with everyone concerned. Very well put, Leona. Thank you very much. We are going to talk a little bit about tomorrow. We've got a couple of races to preview ahead of Thursday's racing. We're due racing from Huntington, Thurles, Sudgefield, Southall and Chelmsford. The William Hill Racing Radio team tomorrow. Darren Owen, Chris Pimlott and Tom Morley. There's three characters to see you through a busy... I know, that's a cracking trio, isn't it? To see you through a busy... Thursday of action. Leona's picked a couple of races we're going to talk about now. We're going to start off at Huntington for the 2:41. Very specific times these days as we try and avoid
not a
crashes.
Race.
No, it's not a greyhound race. Definitely not. Trap two. No, sorry.
Stall two. Stalls at Huntington.
Stalls starts number two. That's what we'll go with. Number two, Butler's Brief. Unfortunately, at time of recording, we don't have any prices through, which is rather frustrating. So I'll run you through a few of the key runners here. Elton de Motz is number one, Butler's Brief two, Very Intense three, Ninth Way four, With Pleasure five, Milesha six, The Premier Celtic, Winged Affair, Skylana Breeze, Project Mars, Queen of the Court, Tis Fantastic, Pond Road, Raise Your Shades, Dapper Lad, Galty Mountain, Say the Word, and Nothing Man. 18 selected. You've...
Yep.
Wanted to talk about Butler's Brief in this one.
Yeah, I certainly have. That's going to be the selection here for the Alistair Ralph team. It was really well backed last time at Hereford, as in there was loads of late money for him. I think probably still a bit green and just didn't quite know enough, you know, to get the job done, which, you know, not the horse's fault, is very lightly raced. Will have learned so much, I think, from that run, and that was a massive step up from anything we'd seen before that. So I think he's going to take another step forward. He's going to be the pick. The most likely favourite, I was looking, is probably going to be, at a guess, obviously we don't know, Very Intense, who's been second way too many times. So to back at short prices, I just couldn't have him. He's probably the one for the forecast, hopefully, to finish behind Butler's Brief. And the other one, like I say, as regards holes in the opposition, as I say, that's the reason for Very Intense. He just keeps finishing second. The other one that I thought was of interest, but, you know, has something to prove, is Project Mars, 0 from 13. And I'm just not sure. His finishing effort was fairly weak when we last saw him. That was as well after a layoff of 627 days. So, of course, we have the bounce factor of sometimes they run okay and then the next time, you know, not so well. So, holes in the opposition, Butler's Brief. I really do fancy quite strongly, actually, at Huntington for the 2:41.
Butler's Brief, number two on your race card, Liam Treadwell on board. Unfortunately, as I say, we don't have prices through as yet, which is a little bit frustrating. Hopefully, by the time you download and listen to this, we will have prices available for you. Very Intense and Project Mars also given the nod of approval in that race. We're going to fast forward the best part of 5 hours to an all-weather contest at Chelmsford, the 7 o'clock race, 1 mile and 6 furlongs. It's a Class 3 handicap, and we do have prices for this one. Lord Halifax, 5-2, because Melly is 11-4. Desert Friend 4-1, 9-2 for Lady Bergamot, Original Choice 6-1, 12-1 for Envoy and Borodin, the 28-1 outsider. Slightly less to choose from here, Leona, 7 of them. Where would you like to go?
It's wide open as well, isn't it? Other than kind of one, really. They've all gone out of it. It's the feature race as well at Chelmsford, this. I didn't pick it for that reason at all. This is a horse that I fancy. It is the favourite, unfortunately, but big enough price, I thought. Lord Halifax was odds on last time at Lingfield. Got stuck on the inside on that dead rail and then did seem, I think, to be slightly outpaced in the closing stages. That was over 1-4. So stepping up in trip here, I think, is going to be a major positive. Obviously, Chelmsford as well, I think, should suit the horse better. And again, he's another one that I am fairly, fairly confident about. So obviously, we've got Kieran Schumart riding for Charlie Fellows. And yeah, I think we're going to see more from Lord Halifax. Like I say, I think they really fancied him last time and then the race just didn't run to suit. So they're not going to go to the well again at Lingfield and end up in the same scenario. They've gone to Chelmsford and they've stepped him up in trip slightly. So Lord Halifax is my fancy at Chelmsford, but you've got to wait till 7 o'clock.
I know, a long old wait for that one. That's fine, though. Not a lot of winning form in the sort of recent form of any of the runners, exactly. So to speak. So that one in the Lord Halifax form a couple of runs ago does stand out as being decent form. 5-2 favourite Lord Halifax for Leona Mayer. Well, that brings us to the end of Wednesday's Daily Racing Podcast. Do feel free to join us on the radio tomorrow, Thursday. Thursday, the 20th of February. Thanks so much, Fiona.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoy listening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.